Acts 28, verses 1 through 10. You want to turn there, read for yourself what God has to say to you this morning. One summer, as I was a youth minister, I was taking a group on a mission trip from northern Kentucky all the way to Savannah, Georgia. And I had the brilliant idea to leave at 11 o'clock at night to avoid all the heat of the day. It's probably mid-July, just like this week. And to avoid all the traffic. So it was a brilliant idea. And so we loaded up our bus that we had. It was a 35-passenger van. We filled it to the full because I had a total of 35 teenagers and adults. And so we loaded it up. We took off, and we did just fine. So we got about an hour and a half down the road to Lexington, Kentucky, and suddenly I hear this terrible noise coming from the engine of that bus. I'm able to pull it off the side of the road, and off the exit, and into a Speedway parking lot. After a little bit of investigation, we see that the timing belt is busted, rotted, it has come off, and we are not going to be able to take that vehicle to Savannah, Georgia at all. So we have to come up with some new transportation. But we can't come up with that transportation at 1:30 in the morning. So we have to spend the night there in the parking lot of Speedway. And I'm like, how am I going to keep all these teenagers out of trouble all night long? I could keep them wrangled up on the bus. I just didn't know. But to my amazement, what happened next was incredible. The kids circled up in the parking lot, and one had a guitar, and they started singing praise songs. And they were just singing top of their lungs there in the middle of the Speedway parking lot. Another group went inside and they befriended the teller there at the Speedway, as a young lady, and they spent time getting to know her, and they actually went around and started fronting the merchandise for her, taking care of her job for her. Not only that, but they went in to the bathrooms and scrubbed them completely, doing her job for her. I'd like to be able to tell you that young lady accepted Christ by the time the sun came up, but I will tell you this. Her view of Christianity, was radically affected that night. What was a derailment of our trip actually was a God appointment. Did you know that Paul experienced something very similar? Last week, we saw him and his shipmates enduring a terrible storm, and if it had not been for the intervention of God, they would all be dead. But they shipwrecked on the shore of a small island in the Mediterranean, and what seems like a derailment of Paul's plans to get to Rome is actually a God appointment. Let's read together. See what happens as Paul and his crew find themselves washed up on the shore of this island in the Mediterranean. Acts Chapter 28, we're going to start with verses 1 through 6. After they were brought safely through, we then learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all, because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened onto his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds. Said that he was a god. Here we see Paul snake bit. And the shipwreck crew find themselves on the island of Malta. Ironically, the name Malta literally means a place of refuge. How amazing it is to think that this ship that was caught in this catastrophic storm and was in desperate need of rescue and refuge for the winter, would find a place that they shipwrecked on called A Place of Refuge. Is that ironic? Is that coincidence? Or is that God? After this harrowing experience, I'm sure Paul and his shipmates were encouraged to find friendly locals who treated them hospitably and prepared a fire to warm them. This is the hospitality of people, and it is the provision of God. While the people of Malta are credited with their acts of hospitality, God made it possible. Bringing the shipwreck to that place, creating the conditions of the locals that were favorable, and even providing the trees from which the firewood came. God had their provision in mind long before they shipwrecked there. God is providing for Paul, and he provides for us. May we never diminish the small and large blessings that God gives us on a daily basis. Do you recognize God and his blessings that he gives you? The food that he provides for you, the roof you have over your head, the work that you get to job, the job that you get to work? Do you give him praise for how you're protected, how he provides for you in all those small and large ways? God is the great provider. May we never take for granted the blessings that he gives us, the provisions and the protection. Paul himself demonstrates himself to be a servant leader in this situation. He was a great Pharisee, if you remember, a famous leader. Yet here he goes and he collects firewood along with everybody else. In his search, he picks up sticks and he picks up more than he bargained with. How he could carry a bundle of sticks with a snake in it and not know it, I do not know. But he does, and it says that he throws the sticks on the fire, and the fire sends that snake that he was carrying back out, and it attacks him, Paul, attaches itself to his hand. Superstitious islanders believe that Paul must be guilty of murder or some great crime, because to receive a snake bite from a poisonous snake, certainly it was the gods that act in action. It mentions justice. Notice it's not a small j. The justice has followed Paul, but there's actually a pagan god named Justice in charge of divvying out justice. It's the daughter of the god Zeus and Themis. They think that the gods always prevail, and if those gods wanted him to die in that shipwreck and he didn't, they're going to send a snake to finish the job, do what needs to be done. They believe that we can't escape what the pagan gods want to happen. Perhaps Paul smiled to himself when he heard what they were saying. Paul knew that there was no pagan god that had power over him, nor Satan, who is the father of all pagan gods, Satan, who doubtless would have delighted in destroying Paul and his mission to get to Rome. But Paul knew whose hands he was in. He knew that he was in Yahweh's hands. And the Lord had already given Paul the decree that he would make it safely to Rome. No power on earth or in hell could reverse that decree. That poisonous snake could not harm him. It wouldn't matter what would have struck Paul, whether it had been a scorpion or a spider or a snake. It would not matter. Paul was immortal till his work was done. And his work would not be done until he reached Rome and taken the gospel to Caesar. So with a majestic calm, I'd really like to have seen that. Paul just kind of shakes off that snake, off into the fire, and he quietly goes about his business, closely being watched by everybody. Everybody's waited with bated breath. Surely he's going to swell up. It's going to happen any moment now. Surely he's going to fall over dead any moment. John Phillips writes, Paul was immortal until his work was done. And Christians, so are we. God has a perfect plan and purpose for our lives. He's watching over us every moment. And we can fully trust that our days are numbered by the one who created us. To their amazement, Paul shakes off the snake. He doesn't get sick. He doesn't swell up. So they think that Paul's a god himself. One minute they think that he's being judged by God, and the next minute they think he is a god. One minute Paul's a degenerate, the next minute he's divine. Paul's probably surprised himself. But we know that while they're on that island for 3 months, that God would use those 3 months and this miracle to allow Paul to share Christ and introduce these islanders to the one true God. Let's see what happens. Verse 7 through 10. Keep reading with me. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonged to the chief man of the island, named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. And Paul visited him and prayed, putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came, and they were cured. They also honored us greatly. And when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. Here we see somebody fever bit. Most powerful man on the island lived nearby the shipwreck site, and in his kindness, he took the shipwreck survivors in for 3 days. He must have been pretty wealthy. Can you take in 275 people? That's what he does. Paul learns that his host's dad is sick with fever and dysentery. So Paul, without invitation, prays over the sick man. He lays his hands on him and heals him. News spreads quick. Paul's miracle, and soon sick people from all over the island flock to Paul, much like they did Jesus and his ministry. Again, we see another parallel between Paul's ministry and Jesus' ministry, all giving authority to Paul, giving authority for us as we read his writings later. Paul heals them all. They show their gratitude. They bring provisions for their journey to Italy. God has provided for Paul, the crew, once again. Now, the island of Malta, we're not quite sure as far as the biblical account, what happens next, what happened after Paul left, but there is historical tradition and historical accounts. Tradition holds that Publius was converted, and a church was established on Malta. And Publius became its first pastor and remained their pastor for 31 years. It has been almost 2,000 years since Paul was shipwrecked and stranded on the island of Malta. But consider this. Today, Malta has a population of 335,000 people. It is listed in the World Christian Encyclopedia as 100% Christian, of which 97% is Roman Catholic and 3% other forms of Christianity. Every year, the island shuts down on February 10th to celebrate the shipwreck of the Apostle Paul and the gospel that Paul brought with him. What a legacy for the gospel. An entire island has been changed because Paul and his shipmates washed ashore on his beaches. By accident, do you think? Absolutely not. And Paul was faithful to proclaim Jesus Christ to those who lived there. And the evidence is still there today of the biblical account. What we can know is true, and it happened. What can we take from this incredible passage? What should we understand about our own spiritual walks because of this passage? Well, the first thing I want you to see this morning, that Paul was never off duty. Paul was never off duty, and we, my friends, are never off duty as Christians. In whatever situation Paul found himself, he was doing the work, the will of God. There was never a point where Paul said, you know, I think I'm going to take a break from this Christian thing. There was never a time when Paul took a vacation from the demands of discipleship. So here's what we need to apply to our lives. We are on duty as Christians 24/7, 365 days a year, for life. With that 24/7, 365 perspective, Paul didn't separate his life into compartments, the sacred and the secular, the holy and the profane. When he was a free man to preach, he preached. When he was in prison, he preached the gospel, the good news. When he was being whipped and being persecuted, he preached the good news. When he was welcomed into people's homes, he preached the good news. When he was on a ship and they weren't even sure of whether they were going to make it or not, Paul preached the good news. And when he was on a Mediterranean island for 3 months, on break from going to Italy and to Rome, he preached the good news. He didn't let his situation and life interfere with bringing glory to God. No wonder he wrote in Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." It doesn't matter what you're doing each day. You should wake up and say, "Am I doing this to the glory of God? Is there a way that I can share Christ in this situation? How can I bring God glory today?" I used to quote that verse every time before I took a run, wanting that run to bring glory and honor to God. When you go to work each day, you can say that prayer, you can read that verse. "Let everything I do, when I go off, let it bring glory to God. Let it be an opportunity to share Christ with others." When you're mowing the lawn, when you're cooking dinner for your family, do it all for the glory of God. Always be on the lookout, no matter what your circumstance or what you're doing, looking for the opportunity to share Christ. Second, Paul was prepared for divine appointments. He was prepared for divine appointments. We need to be ready for divine appointments. You see, if God is truly in control of our circumstance and the events of our lives, then we need to be ready for what can only be described as divine appointments. God places the people that you have in your lives. And when you're out and about and somebody is inserted into your life, whether you were expecting it or not, that is a God appointment. We need to seize on those God appointments in such a way as to leave a witness for Jesus Christ. Paul served those hospitable folks on the beach. And in the end, managed not only to heal Publius' father, but have an impact on the entire island. Why? Because he understood that even though he hadn't planned to be there, he didn't choose to be on that island, but he understood the people that he met there were a divine appointment. The same way, when you have your plans derailed in one way or another, maybe don't get upset. Look for the God appointment in that. Look for why God has set you there. You never know who God's going to place in your path. You never know what God's plan is. You never know whose life God may want you to change, not only for this life, but for eternity. May we be faithful to minister when it happens. You might be in a gas station when your bus breaks down. You might be in the chemo lab when you're fighting cancer. Stephanie had her life derailed through breast cancer, but an incredible thing happened each time she went to go get that chemo and spend that 4 hours having those terrible drugs pushed into her body. She would go with a friend and they would take their Bible study lessons, preparing for Sunday, their devotional guides and their Bibles. And it gave them an opportunity to be witnesses to the people who were sitting beside them. They would end up having basically a party in that chemo room, ministering not only to the fellow chemo patients, but to the doctors and the nurses and the attendants who came in the room as well. Or maybe it's that tow truck operator that comes when your car breaks down. Another mission trip, our van broke down. We were on the way to Hilton Head. Something about going to Georgia and South Carolina. I don't know what it is. But it broke down, and I've told you this story before. Our tow truck operator came. He was from in deep. He's from the Low Country. We could barely understand a word he said. I know they don't speak Creole in South Carolina. There is something that they speak. I don't know the name of it. But you can't hardly understand the word saying. We would just nod and smile as he served us. We had no idea what he was saying. But as he finished his job, and it was hot, and he was sweating, and we were just trying to be kind to him. We had one of those salvation bracelets, much like these that we have for Victory Sports. We're encouraged to give to others. So we just gave him one. He looked at that thing, just a simple salvation bracelet. He just broke down in tears from the simple kindness that we had given him. Certainly, probably had not received much of. Maybe it's on the side of the road that you have a divine appointment. Maybe it's the emergency room you find yourself in. I've visited many of you in the emergency room, but there are two of you from this church. Something happens when you go to the emergency room. Mr. Jim Wilson and Mr. Cheeseburger, whenever they go to the emergency room, all of a sudden their evangelism button goes on. Suddenly they're witnessing to all the nurses and the doctors and anybody within a 4-mile radius. I have gone in there to visit Mr. Jim Wilson, and they've had prayer meeting going on with all the nurses and the doctors. I don't know if it's the drugs. I don't know if it's the new perspective of knowing that life is precious, but both of them, whenever they're there, they're witnessing their tails off. Everybody walks in the room. They see it as a God appointment. Whatever the next derailment is in your life, here's a secret. It's not a matter of if you'll have a derailment in your life in the days to come. It's a matter of when. Next time it happens, may you look at it as an opportunity to minister that you never would have had otherwise. Look to be the hands and feet of God. Look for the opportunity to witness to somebody. Look to be a servant and watch what God does. Who knows? He might just do a miracle through you. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the account that we have of Paul. Lord, I thank you that we have the evidence, even today, what took place on the island of Malta through this whole island being transformed, being Christian. Lord, may we take Paul's example for our own lives. When we have derailments, whether it be on a mission trip or whether it be in our life, that we look for the opportunity to share Christ. We look for the opportunity that you have given us that we would not otherwise have. Lord, may we be faithful to share the gospel. May we be faithful to be the hand and feet of Christ. May that be the case for us. Lord, I don't know who's in this room that may not have that relationship with you, but if there's someone here today, may they be like those people of Malta and know that something special is in their midst, that you are at work and you want to change their lives. I pray if that's the case, that even this morning of someone come to be in right relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll sing a song of invitation.